Can you all pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each one of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. Fill us all with your Holy Spirit, the biggest gift, because he's the one who produces love, joy, peace, harmony, and self-control, and kindness, and all the other good things we can think of. We pray this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever felt like you were not being borne up on eagle's wings? You don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you ever felt inferior, inadequate, not up to the job, not being able to be successful in what you really want to be successful, not pretty enough, not strong enough, not smart enough, just not healthy enough, just not enough? And then where's God when we feel inadequate and inferior? Where's God with his goodness when we have this pain and this problem? Where's God when I look and feel like a loser? And that's what we're going to be asking ourselves today and answer it. And it's not going to be my answer. It's going to be God's answer. Where am I when I look and feel like a loser? We struggle with this because as Christians, it's just natural to think that since we're Christians, all kinds of good stuff should just flow into our lives, and all kinds of good magical stuff should just materialize. So you would think that being a Christian would somehow ramp us up until we're all wealthy like Warren Buffett, or we got the physical prowess of Mr. Arnold or Miss America or whatever. You would think that all kinds of good things would happen, but what really happens, besides good things, they do happen, a lot of times it's bad stuff. And it gets so bad that sometimes we just don't know how we're going to make it. You know, it can all be very perplexing until we meet a man like the great Apostle Paul. And this guy was successful as an apostle, and he was happy as a Christian, and he was famous as a Christian. And even though he went through some extreme highs and extreme lows, he was successful, he was happy, he was famous, and it's not because of what you might first of all expect. Let me tell you his story. First of all, let me give you some background on him. In the first six verses of 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul himself shares what we would say is the Super Bowl win experience of a Christian. And he's talking about himself really in the third person, and he's doing it because he's a humble guy. He says, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Wow, there you got someone who's made the round trip, the only person in the Old Testament and the New Testament who made the round trip. He didn't write about it big time. He didn't talk too much about it. We'll get into that in a little bit. But he made the round trip. This was a huge, huge win for him. It was a huge experience. But you know what? We might ask, well, what are we talking about the third heaven here? The Bible talks about heavens in the plural all the time. In Hebrews 4, one of the verses says that the risen and the glorified Christ passed through the heavens, plural. And Psalm 19 is a familiar one to many Christians. There it says, the heavens declare the glory of God. And people don't know this one too much, but in Matthew 6, when Jesus prays the Lord's Prayer, this is the way he prays it literally in the Greek. Our Father in the heavens. Third heaven makes all the sense in the world when the sky, and the first heaven is the sky where the birds fly. And the second heaven is the sky where the sun, moon, and the stars operate. And the third heaven is the throne of God and the abode of the bliss for all those who died sleeping in the Lord. Let's continue. I know Paul says that this man, again, Moya, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know. He wasn't paying that close attention to that. But God knows, was caught up to paradise. That's God's word for garden of delight, where nothing but the great stuff is. Good stuff, no evil. He heard inexpressible things, things that man is not permitted to tell. And then he says, I will boast about a man, remember me, like that, but I will not boast about myself except about my weaknesses. Now, that's kind of talking weird. But what do you mean by that? Well, if you read the previous chapter, you always get a better understanding if you read something previous and after. But what was happening here is that certain guys in this area around Paul were presenting themselves as super apostles, and they were questioning Paul's leadership, apostolic authority, and then they were saying, we know more than he does, and we know better than he does. Maybe they even said we're healthier than he is. And so you ought to listen to us, not him. And so Paul was saying, look, while the New Testament is being written, I am your New Testament Bible. I am the first generation. I saw the Lord Jesus Christ risen and alive and well at my conversion, and 5 days later, 5 years later, 5 years later, I saw him again in the destiny where all Christians go. So listen up to God through me. That's Paul's point here. Now, why did God take him on that trip to heaven? Well, it was incredible, but why? Well, it wasn't to prove his apostolic apostleship or his leadership and authority, because he really wasn't saying anything about what he saw. He could say anything about what he saw. God just didn't allow him to say anything that he saw there. So why? Well, Paul's trip to heaven sustained him. Paul needed sustaining for the incredible abuse that he took while planting churches. It had to keep him going. And listen to what he went through while he was planting churches. And I'm only going to read part of this. He said, 5 times I received from the Jews, this is the previous chapter again, the 40 lashes minus one. The Jews were used to showing compassion by only giving 39 instead of 40 lashes. The children, they had a big heart, right? 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Now think about this. Just one of those things would be enough for you and me. I spent a day and a night in the open sea. Now he was doing this open missions, planting churches. I had been constantly on the move. I had been in danger. And I'm not going to read the rest because you get the point. Now, because of the slacking that he took physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, not to mention, as he says at the end of chapter 11 again, the strain of taking the strain of being concerned about the spiritual welfare of all the people that he was ministering to, because he really cared, and so it was on his heart. Now besides all that strain, God gave him some extraordinary blessings to keep him going. God let him see the destiny and how incredible it was, so he could say to himself, as well as he wound up saying to others, the present sufferings are nothing compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. And if you pay attention, God has given you all kinds of great blessings to help you slide through life and keep you hopeful, to sustain you. Sometimes when times are tough, we need someone else to tell us about the wonderful things that God has been up to in our life. And maybe that is me, more today, for you. Now I want you to take a little inventory and check out the wonderful things that are going on in your life. You know, we've all experienced God's generosity here. Maybe you have a wonderful spouse who sustains you and keeps you going when you don't feel like going, who loves you unconditionally, uncritically, who knows the bozo you are behind the mask and loves you anyway. That's incredible. That's an incredible person. Maybe you can, maybe because God has blessed your business, you can accumulate more than you're spending, or maybe it's the reverse. You've been given a wonderful ability to spend less than you make, and there's a lot of people who are just really helping and grinding and trying to juggle and keep everything up there in balance as far as bills and payments are concerned. And maybe you have the ability to never have to worry and say to yourself, I don't have any friends, because you've got a ton of friends, and they're all around you. And maybe you have the ability to be a great communicator. You can do a bunch of explaining things to people. You just have that gift. And maybe you never worry about being unemployed, because you know with your skill set you can get 6 different jobs if you need to. So there are many other things that you can list if you looked around at inside and about your life, about how God is just really pouring blessings into your life. So that's not such a hard grind. You know, maybe you've got some kids that that had done some great things, that had done magnificent things, whereas in your childhood, you were just too stupid to get anything done. You know, I don't know, make your own list, take your own inventory, and look at the wonderful things that are growing out in your life because of God's blessings. And that's what Paul did, that's what God did for Paul. He lifted him up to the third heaven so he could get an actual peek of the divine majesty. But you know what? God works in both ways. He works in both ways. God knows that your life also has got some nasty streaks of hard stuff going in it. And he knows that there are things that are pounding on you and squeezing you and stretching you and giving you a nasty stretch in your life. He knows that. And an incredible thing about this is that he doesn't simply allow it. Like a lot of preachers and a lot of churches say, and often to soften the blow, to soften the reality, he actually sends the hard stuff. Really? Yes. No less an authority than Mr. Third Level of Heaven said, to keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassing great revelations, there was given me, take off of those words first of all, a thorn in the flesh, in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. That's a credible amount of information in that verse, but don't pass by the first thing, it was given to me. Paul says, it was given to me. Really? Yes, it was no accident. And God does the same thing to us. Believe it. In other words, does God want us at times weak? And the answer is yes. And mysteriously, this God-given thorn in Paul's flesh was also a messenger of Satan to torment him. Think excruciating, ongoing physical disability of some sort. Well, how can this be? Well, you know, there are times when Satan and God concur in the same activity, although they got totally different motives. You see it at the cross. You see it in the suffering of Jesus. The Bible says that the suffering of the cross of Jesus, this was the hour of darkness. This was the hour of Satan. But at the same time, Jesus says, my hour has come. Satan was glad to see Jesus suffer, period. God was glad to see his son suffer as the substitute of all sinners. Here, Satan was causing grief of all kinds with the Apostle Paul, attacking him, trying to sever his connection and his relationship to God, attacking his faith, while at the same time God was testing him and working out something really good for Paul. But I'll get into the what in a second, but first of all, let me ask you, what do you think his thorn in the flesh was? I can give you 24 different suggestions. And the reason I give you 24 different suggestions is because there's been that many guesses out there, but nobody really knows. You see, the Holy Spirit, the editor-in-chief of the Bible, decided to leave that blank, what that thorn was, so that you could write yours in. Remember when I asked you what makes you feel inadequate, insecure? What makes you feel not pretty enough, not smart enough, not strong enough? Not healthy enough, just not enough. That's your thorn. That's your thorn that God gave you. Purposely. Well, why? What great purpose, first of all, did Paul get his thorn? What's called a working scar from God? To keep me from becoming conceited. Notice those first lines. To keep me from becoming conceited. Now, I didn't repeat that stuff. Actually, the Greek has it that it's so emphatic that it's said twice, but the English doesn't like to do things twice like that. They figure that's bad grammar. But it reads in the Greek, to keep me from becoming conceited, to keep me from becoming conceited, and so on. To keep me from being proud, to keep me from becoming arrogant. Yeah, that's it. My thorn is a working scar to keep me from becoming proud. Arrogant, because it's so destructive. Proverbs 16:8, pride goes before destruction. Pride always leads to disaster. A haughty spirit before a fall. Pride always leads to a fall. Why? Because because God can't stand pride. A holy God cannot tolerate pride, conceit, arrogance. It's the I am a little God sin. It's the all glory be to me sin. And God has gone on record, my glory will I not give to another. And if you're going to go that route, God says, I'm going to have to put you down. Because I cannot, in defense of my honor, let another God reign. My glory will I not give to another. So when God is pouring all kinds of good stuff into our lives, and at the same time a great and stressing thing in our life, you know why? Do you know why? Along with the great blessings, there's also these painful things that are going on in our lives. Do you know why it's happening? So you don't go out of balance. So you stay humble and don't fill your agenda with your own fat ego, so that you're making sure that your will is getting done, never mind God's will. If you feel like a loser at times, it's because God's working on you to make you a good loser. He's making you, and this is good, get rid of your conceit and your pride and your arrogance. At the same time, adding in all those blessings like we just talked about. Look at those blessings. Keep looking at those blessings. Don't forget those things. And when you feel that there's a thorn in your flesh, say, oh yeah, God is balancing me. He's given me all kinds of suffering so that I don't get conceited and proud because of all the blessings he's also given me, so I don't get depressed and discouraged. You see, he's keeping me balanced. You know, God's got no problem balancing us, actually. I've got a problem balancing work with family. I always did as a pastor. I got a problem balancing exercise and R&R. But God's got no problem balancing. This is how he does it. What's hard is that it's going to be hard on our flesh. But when you get that, praise God. When you feel the thorn, praise God and thank God for the blessings, because he's balancing you. Now, Paul's thorn in the flesh story is not over. And we still don't have God's final answer to why we have working stars. You know, the balancing thing is a great answer, but it's not God's final answer. When trouble comes our way, our first reaction is never going to be, woo, this is from God, this pain is great. You know, who does that? Paul was an honest Christian, and he didn't do that. And that's why he said, 3 times I pleaded to the Lord, take it from me. 3 times, like, Lord, this hurts. Can you take it away? Lord, this really hurts. Can you take it away? I could be a better apostle without this thing. Lord, can you please, please, please take this thing away, because it's draining my strength. I can't write as many epistles. I can't take as many mission trips. I can't preach as much. Lord, can you please take this bugger out of my system? And you would expect the Lord Jesus to say, sure, Paul, yeah, why not? I mean, you're the guy that I've been watching over to plant all these churches in Asia Minor, in Europe, you're the guy who's been bitten by poisonous snakes without any effect, and you have put your hands on sick people in my name and healed them. Sure, here's one for you, we would expect Jesus to say. That's not how it went down. God had a final answer for the great apostle Paul, but Paul at first had no clue what it was, and that's again why he prayed 3 times to take it away. And here's God's final answer to him. He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace. For my power, God says, Jesus says, my power is made perfect in weakness. So here's the Lord's final answer. My grace. My grace is sufficient for you. And Jesus is talking here, he's talking about my grace. This is a located grace in him. This is not a kind of a generic grace that, oh yeah, all kinds of good things happen when the sky is blue and the temperature is about 80 degrees. This is my personal grace. This is the stuff that's found in me. This is the favor that you can't earn. This is the stuff you can't deserve. This is found in my suffering, my dying, my wanting to be weak. for you to forgive you, cancel all your sins, found in my empty tomb, and it will be totally sufficient for you, 100% enough, and you will be able to accomplish the goals and purposes in your life as an apostle that I will for you, and it will be hugely important, and it will be enough. My power, Jesus said to Paul and to us, is made perfect, literally is brought to its finishing touches in your weakness. Do you believe that? Paul did. Paul said to God's final answer, he said, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses and insults and hardships and persecutions and difficulties, for when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Paul embraced his weaknesses, his thorn. When God gave Paul his final answer, he embraced this great paradox. And a paradox is when two things, two truths, seem to conflict and oppose and contradict each other, but they're still right. Paul embraced his weakness and embraced this great paradox. The great paradox is this: when I am weak in human strength and being picked on for being a Christian or being picked on for anything else in this world, I am truly strong, I'm capable, I'm powered in divine strength. Brothers and sisters, this is something you and I fight when we are younger, but as we get older, we get to see that so many times God works such great things through our weaknesses. Our weaknesses. Our brokenness. He works so many great things through our brokenness, more than our magnificent brilliance, more than our money, more than our muscles. We get it as we get older and we get deeper into the Word and we experience some suffering in our life. And I think I could ask you, veterans, isn't that true? How God has used something horrible in your life into making you a better, a loving, a more loving, a helpful, bigger servant Christian. It works that way. So his weakness that he pours into our lives along with the blessings, it's not a bad thing. You know, it reminds us that it's not all about us. It's all about the Lord's good and gracious will. Not our will, but his good and gracious will. And it's not about the human expert that lives down the street. It's all about what God says. Here, his abiding word, it's all about his ways, it's all about his wisdom. This is what really, really works. You know, Paul's boast, when I'm weak, I'm strong, is kind of like the title to God's paradoxical way of dealing with us. And he says, I'm working it both ways. I'm getting my purpose accomplished by sending great stuff in your life so that you're different than people. You got different abilities than people. And they have different things than you. And don't envy them. Don't envy the different things that other people have. Admire them, but don't envy them. Come on, you can do it. All you got to do is try. Prayerfully try. Celebrate their special things as you celebrate your special things. And don't envy, don't covet. And the peace of God will be with you when you do that. So there's God doing one thing. He's giving you special abilities so that you can slide through and life is not hard. And then at the same time, he's also throwing in those thorns. And what you need to do is, and I need to do, is embrace it. Those thorns may be long-term thorns, like the bum ear that the Lord has given me. It may be a short-term thorn, but embrace it. And when you get it figured out, share your story with your struggling brothers and sisters and give them a boost. Now let me give you God's final answer. I want you to picture the cross right now with Jesus on it. I want you to just think of all the working scars that he has now on his body as he's hanging there. And when you think about the thorns, think about all the thorns that he had pressed into his brow. And remember, of course, he rose and he's living right now, but get it in your heart, get it in your mind, all that weakness, all that suffering he did in order to pay, to make this magnificent payment for the forgiveness of our sins. And then he ramps you up into peace as every time the Holy Spirit makes you review that story. And then ask yourself, isn't it the way of God? Isn't it the way of God to show his power and his grace and his love through weaknesses, through what the world considers weaknesses? Yes. Yes. Jesus is saying, my grace that strips you of your ego, my grace will help you trust in me, that my grace is sufficient for you. It's enough. It's 100% enough for you, and that your way and my way for now, not forever, but for now, it's the way of the cross. It's the way of the cross for now. Please pray with me. Please stay seated. Let's pray. Dear Lord, first of all, I confess to my whining for years over my bum and deaf ear that you decided to give me from birth. How patient you were with me that I might finally get it, that your grace is totally enough for me, that I'm so much stronger because of this thorn in the flesh you gave me. Give repentance to everyone here who has complained about their thorn and forgiveness too. I ask that you give to Abiding Word people a deep gratitude and a good understanding of the way you balance us out with both a lot of ups and significant downs. And you know best, Lord. You knew what Paul needed. You know exactly what each of us needs, so we don't get conceited and become really losers of our souls. So as tough as it is to say thanks for the pain that makes us good losers of conceit and pride and arrogance. And the next time I pray for deliverance from evil, from trouble, help me to remember that you've got different love languages, that you can either take the thorn away or take me to heaven totally away from all thorns, or you can make the thorn serve me, humble me, and bless me. And dear Savior, when we just can't believe that a thorn in the flesh can actually be beneficial to us, point us to your cross, Jesus. Point us to your scars, Jesus. Point us to your crown of thorns, Jesus. And remind us to just stop and remember. Just stop and remember you. Amen.